Well, let's find out how many have worked with kids for 15 years or more. Hands up. Wow. Okay. Seen any changes along the way? Okay. A little more sense of entitlement out there with the kids, yes or no?
Yes.
I didn't hear you.
Yes.
Okay. A little more inclined to talk back, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. And what if during this time we could show you how to totally neutralize all that back talk and arguing and manipulation? Would that make your time with us worthwhile?
Yes.
Okie doke. What if we could come up with some ways that you can have a little technique that you can put in your back pocket that you can say that when I don't know what to do with my kid, I can just pull this out and use it and it'll work. How would you like that? Would you like it better if it was simple? Would you like it better if it would work on all ages?
Yes.
Okay. What if you could even use it with your spouse?
Yes.
All right. There we go. Okie doke. So that's where we're headed. But I'm thinking about a story right now about a little grandson by the name of Marky. Now, Marky was about 4.5 or 5 years of age. That's a great age for kids. It's a time when they're doing all these scientific experiments. And what are these experiments about? Well, they have to do with buttons and pushing buttons and adults and watching their faces get red and stuff like that. Well, basically what they're doing is they're experimenting with how can a little kid my size control big adults around me because everybody's bigger than I am. Well, he's going to run an experiment. He's riding in the car and he spies the golden arches in Golden, Colorado. And it's Mickey D's, got to stop at Mickey D's. And his daddy says, no, you ate lunch an hour ago. We're not stopping at Mickey D's. No, but I don't want to stop. I'm really hungry. No, nice try. Not going to stop there. Now, his daddy's a love and logic psychologist. He's been through a lot of this stuff. So he's thinking, well, most of the stuff I try with Daddy doesn't work. I'm going to have to experiment with something brand new. So he looks at his daddy from the back seat and he says, Daddy, if you're not stopping at McDonald's, then that means you're a butthead. Now let's all speculate on the wisdom of calling a love and logic psychologist a butthead. I don't think that'd be very wise, do you? What was the first thing Daddy did? Would you like, you know, when I tell stories, I stop in the middle of the stories and we talk about the psychology behind it. And I used to worry about that until the OJ trial. And then Judge Ito taught me something really important. He said, you can stop in the middle of anything, anytime, as long as you call it what? A sidebar. Yeah, so we will stop occasionally along the way to have little sidebars, and the sidebars are the psychology behind what we're trying to do here, right? So let's have a little sidebar on getting kids to listen. What if you had a trick that you could use that would open up a kid's ears and he would hear absolutely every word you say? Would you like that?
Yes.
And would you like it if it was simple? And isn't that love and logic? Keep it simple, make it easy to use, but also make it change your life, right? So Daddy goes, oh, and he goes, what? And Daddy goes, oh, what? He said, oh, not a good idea. Gonna have to do something about that, but not right now. I'm driving. I'll catch you later. Try not to worry about it. Now tell me something. Does this give Daddy a little time to get himself together?
Uh-huh.
Do you suppose Daddy needed a little time to get himself together? Yeah. And is it a good idea to buy a little time like that? Yeah. Does that give us a chance to think it through and even call up our friends and give some advice and get some support? And it gives us a chance to do something really, really special, which is allow him to believe that he got by with this. Now tell me something. Is it good for a kid to believe that he got by with something temporarily? Yes or no?
Yes.
Now I see a conflicted audience again. Some people say yes, some people say no. Well, we'll do a little sidebar on kids getting by with things. We'll get this story told eventually, okay? But psychologists love to talk about consequences in terms of their saliency. They either have high saliency or low saliency. Example, you go over to the light socket and you put your finger in there. Is there going to be a consequence?
Yes.
High saliency or low saliency?
High.
I didn't hear it.
High.
Yes, why? Oh, yes. And when there's high saliency, how often do you repeat that behavior? Oh, is there something that just kind of embeds itself in your subconscious mind? Says, ooh, I don't think I'm going to do that anymore, right? Okay, compare that to this one. You're a junior high school kid. Your parents have told you over and over and over, you're going to get those grades straightened out, you're going to bring those grades up, or you're going to get grounded. And the grades don't come up, and you get grounded. And all your friends are going out on Friday night, and you're grounded. And what are you saying to yourself right there at that time? Something like this? Man, I'm going to get myself together. Boy, you're going to see a new student now. I'm really learning my lesson. I am so lucky to have parents who care enough for me. Is that what's happening?
No.
Or we should live so long, right? What's this kid doing by now? Has he had time to brace himself for it? Yes or no? I didn't hear you.
Yeah.
Has he had time to figure out how to convince himself? He didn't want to go out anyway. So love and logic, people, parents and teachers, just love for kids to believe they got by with something for a period of time and suddenly discover that they didn't. And the consequence has more saliency because it comes like a lightning bolt out of the sky, right? Let's go back to our story. Here's little Marky. He's riding in the car. The whole afternoon goes by. See, his little incident happened at 1:30. The whole afternoon goes by. Now it's 6 o'clock. The two males in the family, they join forces. They go out into the wilderness of Golden, Colorado, hunting for pizza. It's pizza night. 6 o'clock, Saturday night, pizza night. Well, his little time clock goes off in his head, and he says, 6 o'clock, I'm getting hungry. Oh, pizza night. Wait a minute. What's Daddy doing out in the garage? Piddling around out there. He runs out there. Daddy, Daddy, it's pizza time. Time to go to Woody's Pizza. And what would you guess is the first sound out of Daddy's voice so that he will listen? Oh, what? What? He said, oh, I was just thinking. It might not be that much fun eating out in public with somebody who might call me a butthead. We'll try it again someday when I don't worry about that. Now, what happened at that moment? Did little Marky look up at his daddy and he said, Daddy, I am so fortunate to have a love and logic psychologist for a parent. Is that what happened? What did he say? What's the first thing out of him? Not fair. Do your kids ever say stupid things like not fair? Yes or no? Would you like to walk out of here by break time saying, I've got it down now. No kid will ever be able to argue with me effectively. Would you like that?
Yeah.
Now, are there times when we need to be a really sympathetic, listening person for our kids when they're hurting? And are there times when we need to not be listening when they're arguing and manipulating? How healthy is it for a kid to discover that he can get his way in the world through arguing and manipulation and smooth talk and that kind of thing? Is that good or not good?
Not good.
Not good. So how do we do it? How about explaining to kids why things are fair? They say, it's not fair. Do you have any friends who have this fantasy that someday they will be able to explain things so well to their kids that their kids will actually stand up and say things like this? Oh, Mom, you know, up until this moment, I've disagreed with everything you've said. But now that you put it that way, that makes so much sense, and I'm sure glad you're willing to share that with me. How would you like to live that long? But do you know any people who believe that they can argue that well with a kid? That a kid say, oh, you're so right, and I'm so wrong. Isn't that interesting? No. Well, no reasoning. When kids start to argue, I like to go brain dead. Now, why do I like to go brain dead? Well, it isn't because I like to. I have to. Yeah, because if I don't go brain dead when kids start to argue, what happens? I start thinking. Yeah. And when I start thinking, even though I try real hard to clamp my jaws together, words will actually come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And what do the kids do with those words once they come out? Do they use them against us?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that's the ammunition that we don't want to feed to the kids. So I want to keep it simple, and I want to limit the words, remembering that every word I use will eventually get used against me, right? So what do? I like to go, when a kid says, it's not fair, I like to say, I know. Now, what can a kid do with those two words? I know. Well, usually they get mad, right? Well, this is stupid. And since I'm brain dead, what's going to come out of my mouth? Let's hear it. I know. Can you put a little more music in that? Let's hear it. I know. And we want to drag it out. And when you're teaching parents how to do that, you say, be careful, because if you get sarcastic, will it backfire?
Yes.
Okay, so here's how you teach other people how to do it. You say, if you're going to do this, put your finger right here. Let's all put our finger right here in front of our chest. Okay, and now let's draw a little line straight out like this, way out there. Okay, now make sure as you say, I know, the words do not go above or below the line. Let's hear it. I know. I know. And if you really want to be empathetic, you can add, I know, it's hard. I know, it's hard. Now, is a kid going to just say, oh, you're so good, I can't argue with you? Or is he going to up the ante a little bit? Well, Dad lets me. And the answer is, I know. And I'm the only kid in the whole school. I know. And everybody else gets to. I know. And how about this? And this is like so lame. What's the answer? I know. And how about, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. What's the answer? I know. And the kid is saying, well, this isn't working. I'm going to have to raise the... I'm going to have to rip my parents' heart right out of their body. This will do it. Well, I didn't ask to be born into this crappy family in the first place. What's the answer? Uh-oh. Why did I say uh-oh? What's happening to the volume in here? Isn't it amazing that when we start to realize how powerful it is, we start to get a little smug, and then the sarcasm starts to ooze out, and the voices start getting louder, and each time we say, I know, should it get louder or softer? Softer. So let's try it again. Well, didn't ask to be born into this crummy family in the first place. I know. Well, you just had kids, so you could make slaves out of them. What's the answer? I know. Well, how about this one? I'm the only kid in the whole high school doesn't get to go to Cancun, Mexico for sex, drugs, and booze over spring vacation because you're so old-fashioned. You're so like 5 minutes ago. What's the answer? I know. And pretty soon it's going to eventually get to, well, this sucks. And the answer is, I know. And how long can you keep saying I know? Forever. Now, will your typical kid give up at that point and say, well, obviously, this adult is too skillful for me. I just going to have to mend my ways. Or is he going to say, wait a minute, manipulation level one is not working. I'm forced to go to level two. What does level two sound like? You don't love me if you love me. Do your kids ever say stupid things like, any truth in it? Kind of a delayed response there, guys. Well, sometimes they're a little harder to love than others, right? But the love is still there. It's just, okay, a little harder to remember it, right? Okay. But would you like one for "You Don't Love Me"? Yeah. At this point, I'm always reminded of the woman who came to the Rocky Mountain Conference one year. The conference hadn't even started, and she ran up to me. She's all excited. "Jim, Jim," she said, "do you want to see my new tattoo?"
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Where is it? She says, "It's on my finger. Look." And on her first finger, on the first joint, right there, she's got this little smiley face you see in the Walmart ads. And I said, "What in the world is that doing on your finger?" And she said, "Oh, when my kids say I don't love them, I just whip that out and I look at that thing and it reminds me to grin." Now, why do you grin when kids are arguing and manipulating? Terrorizes them, that's why. They say, "Oh no, adult's grinning, this may not be the adult's problem. If it's not the adult's problem, it's bound to become my problem." There you go. She had two more words on her finger. On this second joint, she had the word "nice," N-I-C-E. On the third joint, she had the word "try," T-R-Y. And she said, "When my kid says, 'You don't love me,'" she said, "I whip it out, I look at it, I read it right off there. Let's all do it together." Bigger grin. It's got to be a really big grin. It's like, "Oh, I never thought you'd think of it," kind of a grin. And she says, "Let's hear it. Nice." Now, could you use that in a lot of different situations? Let's experiment. Okay, here we have adult, we have a kid. And the adult is saying, "Where's your homework?" Kid, "They don't give that anymore. It's a new policy at school." What's the answer? "Nice try." Well, how about this? Parent, "Where's your homework?" Kid, "We do it during class time." What's the answer? "Nice try." How about you're the teacher? "Where's your homework assignment?" Kid, "My parent wouldn't let me do homework last night because I had a lot of responsibilities for me." What's the answer? "Nice try." Here we are. Kid, "Well," talking to the teacher, "well, shouldn't have to memorize all these facts. They're irrelevant because I'm gifted." What's the answer? "Nice try." How about this one? "You can't do nothing to me. I'm in special ed. I'm protected by federal legislation." What's the answer? "Nice try." So when we don't know what to do, we can always fall back on what? "Nice try." And do you ever have fantasies? You ever have bad fantasies about what you'd really like to say to a kid who accuses you of not loving them? Oh, boy. Those fantasies will keep us sane, won't they? But here's one you can actually experiment with. The kid says, "You don't love me." Nice big grin, right? "Oh, that was a nice try." And then suddenly I remember, "Oh, George, do you know something? When I was your age, I used to say that very same thing to my parents." And then I remember this, "But it worked for me." Don't you just want to run home right now and say, "Come on, kid, bring it on. You want a piece of me? Have I got a new one for you?" Okay. Now, will a kid give up at this level or go to level 3? Level 3. "You're mean, I hate you." And the answer is what? "I know." Or could you use "nice try"? All right. And have you ever known a kid to go to level 4? Level 4. "I don't have to put up with this. I'm out of here. I'm going to go live with Dad. He lets me do what I want him to do. Yeah. I'm going to go live with my friends." I've even heard this one. "I'd rather live on the streets than in this police state." Would you like one for that?
Yeah.
I can't tell for sure. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, how about a loving one? Yes or no?
Yes.
How about a loving one that will blow the kid's mind at the same time?
Yes.
Now, stop. Are we all okay that that's a metaphor? Ever since 9/11, we have to watch our politically correct language, right? Okay. Well, how about... Oh, let's take a look at our catalogs. You know, there's a whole lot of free tips in your Love and Logic catalog. And if you can find these free tips, if you look at the index, it's in the inside of the back cover. And you'll see a column says helpful hints. Look down there and find one that says Love and Logic one-liners. What page is it on, everybody?
Three.
Okay, let's find it. Throughout this book, you will find those little things. Tell parents, cut these out, put them on the refrigerator. See if you can find one on there that would be good for a kid who says, I'm out of here, I'm going to go live somewhere else.
I love you
wherever you live. Now, is delivery important? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, how about this? Well, I love you wherever you live.
No.
No. How about imagining a little hug, a little kiss on the cheek? And if so, how's it going to sound? Audience, let's hear it. I love you wherever you live. Now, little Marky, would you guess? Let's go back to our story. And he's saying, it's pizza time. And Daddy's saying, oh, I don't think it'd be fun to eat out in public. Who might call me a butthead? Would you suppose that he would waste his time with, not fair, you don't love me, I hate you, I'm going to go somewhere else? No, he's been that route before. He has to go one step farther. He has to go to level number 5. Level number 5 sounds like this. I'm sorry. I know I done wrong. I learned my lesson. I'll never do it again. Now, have you ever heard parents who respond to that with something like this? Are you sure? Do you promise? You've learned your lesson? Well, I hope you've learned your lesson. All right, we'll go. But you better have learned your lesson. Could we all have a moment of silence for those parents? Because I want you to do this. Raise your hand if you've ever seen that work out in the long run. Now, isn't it amazing? I see thousands and thousands of parents every year. And I ask, have you ever seen that work out? That the kid learns from hearing about the consequences. I never see a hand. So you tell me. Do kids learn from hearing about consequences? Do they learn from experience them? Which is it?
Experience.
Okay. And when kids experience the consequences, how do the parents feel? Awful. Right? Yeah, we feel like jerks, but that's our job, isn't it? But to do it, as Dr. Charlie said, in a really loving way. Okie doke. So he said what? I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. I learned my lesson. And how did his daddy respond to that? I'm sure you have. And we'll be going to pizza someday when what? I don't have to worry about it anymore. Well, when's that going to be? I don't know. Now, why do you frequently say to your kids, I don't know? Wise parents frequently say what? I don't know. Why? Because if we want our kids to actually think and figure things out and become responsible, we have to be willing to look incredibly stupid from time to time and say what? I don't know. I'm sure. Well, when am I going to go again? When I don't worry about it. And the week went by. And would you guess that he gave it some thought during the week? And Saturday came. And it was 6 o'clock the next Saturday, and it's pizza time. And Daddy once more is in the garage. He runs out there, Daddy, it's pizza time. And Daddy said, oh, still a little worried about being called a butthead. But we'll do it again someday. Well, what is that going to be? I was good all week. I know you were. And someday, well, what is that going to be? I don't know. What am I going to have to do? Oh, I bet you'll figure it out. And would you guess, yes, they did go the following week? Sure. Now, why didn't Dad just jump on it and go the next week? You know, too often we have kids in America who have had this fixation that you do the crime, you do the time, and then it's all forgotten. I want to put that behind me, right? No. I don't want kids to really have us be that predictable. Well, a month went by. And I said to his daddy one day, hey, you remember that time when he called you a butthead? And he said, yeah, wasn't that great? Now, why would a daddy say, wasn't that great? Because love and logic parents believe what? Kids need to make a lot of affordable mistakes really early in life. And when we protect them from those, or we warn them so they don't do it, we rob them of the opportunity to gain the same kind of wisdom we gained as we grew up. And tell me, would you rather your kids learn that when they're little, or would you rather wait till they're older? Is it better for your kid to learn to keep his mouth shut in the presence of bigger, stronger kids when he's 5, or is it better to protect him from that and wait till he's 15? It's like a friend of mine said, far better my kid total his tricycle than total the family car.
You know, I learned the power of delayed consequences when I was working in elementary schools. And I love to ask kids this question. What does your teacher do if a kid does something wrong or bad? What does your teacher do if a kid misbehaves? And, you know, I could always tell if a teacher was struggling because the kids would say, well, she makes you change your color. Well, what does that mean? Well, there's these colors on the side of the wall, and you have to pull your slip out. And I said, well, what does that mean? I don't know. I said, well, do kids ever have to change their colors? Connor. Well, then I talk to the kid the next day. I say, well, who had to change their colors? Connor. I said, well, anybody else? No. Connor always has to change his colors. Well, is that a bad thing? Oh, I guess. The next day I'd see the kid. I wouldn't even have to ask him. They'd just say, Connor. But I'd ask other kids. I'd say, what does your teacher do when a kid does something really bad? And the kids would say, well, I don't know. She always does something. So what does she do? I mean, something. I mean, what is something? Oh, we don't know, but she always does something. I started saying that to kids. I'm going to have to do something. I realized that something is the most feared consequence to all child kind. In fact, I've actually had kids. I've said, I'm going to have to do something. And they looked at me and said, no, no, don't do something. By the way, what would happen if your daughter came home in the middle of the night, got everything pierced that night, you know, our curfew's 10, she comes in at like 1 a.m., and she's with a guy named Axel. And she's in kindergarten, for crying out loud. I mean, what would you do? Would you know what to do? Yes, you would. Now you would. You'd do something, right. What happens if your kid, you actually found out that they were from outer space? What would you do? Or what would happen if your kid wrecked the family car? Something, right. Yeah, see, you always know what to do now. A dad came to this presentation, this very one. He said, I want to teach this love and logic because it helped me so much with my own family. See, I have a 17-year-old daughter, and she was getting a major attitude. Yeah, and she was driving. And we wanted her to be able to drive. But there was a problem with her coming home on time. Well, I plan it all out. I know exactly what I'm going to do. She comes home late. There I am. I've got the empathy right on the tip of the tongue. I say, oh, honey, we were so worried about you. And then I held my hand out to her and I patted her on the back. And I said, we love you so much. Yeah, that's why we were worried. And thank you for giving me the car keys. And she handed me the car keys. And then as she turned around, she said this, Dad, it's like, I've got another set. It all went out the door, all of my skills. I had no idea what to do. And then a little buzzer went off in my head that said something like this: when you don't know what to do, just do something. Because kids hate it when you do something. So I looked at her and I said, oh, honey. Ooh, bad decision. I'm going to have to do, let's hear it,
something.
And then I said, try not to worry, right? What are you going to do? I don't know. Going to have to call up my friends. See, delayed consequences, again, allow us to what? Plug the holes before we launch the boat, right? Figure out what might go wrong with our plans. Plug those holes. Get the support we need before we follow through. Did he follow through? Would you like to hear what he did?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Well, he calls around. He has to let a couple days go by. Is it okay to let a couple days go by? Is it okay for a kid to think that they've gotten away with something if they really haven't?
Is she driving during those couple days?
Oh, she's driving during those couple days. She asks, is she driving during those couple days? Sure. Yeah. She's going to think that...
she's getting by with it.
Yeah. Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
What happens when a kid thinks they've gotten away with something and suddenly realizes that they haven't? Do their neurotransmitters speed up just a little bit? It's that element of surprise. See, Love and Logic teaches consequences should come like a lightning bolt out of the sky, wrapped in empathy. Well, he calls his friends. He talks to them. Most of them have bad ideas. One of them has a good idea. He says, that's a good idea, but I got to do some shopping. Well, finally, he's ready to go. Does he say anything to her? No. He just gets a call. It's morning time. He's at work. The call sounds like this from his daughter. Dad, you get home right now and you take that club off my steering wheel. Yes, he put the club on her wheel. Well, let's make it clear what the club is. You do not use it on the child. You put it on the steering wheel. Don't want any misinterpretations here. Don't want any letters, right? Yeah, she's irate. You get home, you get this club off the steering wheel. Now, what do you do when a kid says things like this? Especially when you're on the phone. I'd like to practice an empathetic statement with you. It's very powerful. Let's practice that. But that's you! This is unfair! You didn't even tell me what was going to happen! But this is stupid! I hate you! Well, I have to drive! I have to get to work! How can you just keep going? Think about how much more energy you'd have as a parent if the only skill you ever had to use was...
Well, I'm back with you. This is Jim. Hope you enjoyed these stories that provide a taste of love and logic. And now I'm back with another story. This one takes us all the way back to the 1970s when my good friend, Foster Klein, and I were watching, with amazement, many of those changes that were happening in American family life, and especially American parenting techniques. Each of us, because of our professions, came in contact with lots of kids, their problems, and their parents. We got to see different ways of handling discipline problems, and to tell the truth, we were becoming confused. One day I said to Foster, come on, Foster, we see this all the time. You're the psychiatrist. How is it that two different parents can handle the same problem the same way and get two dramatically different results? I was referring to a situation in which two girls from two different families had been caught shoplifting. Well, the parents of each girl handed down the same consequences. What were the results? Well, one of the girls saw her parents as being mean, while the other girl saw her parents as just trying to help her prepare for the real world. Foster's carefully thought-out response was, "Wow, Jim, wish I could tell you, but I really don't know."
But what if we could find out? What if we could share that with parents? Wouldn't that make life a lot better for a lot of people?
Well, that journey the two of us took over the next few years led us to the answer. We didn't find it in books, didn't find it in seminars. Where'd we find it? Well, we found it by watching the really effective parents and analyzing what they did and how they did it. Then we went to the psychological research to help explain it. Our next job was to find ways to share these answers in ways that were simple and easy to learn. Little by little, we discovered that to be effective, parents only needed to learn a few simple skills. They didn't have to become psychologists to raise great kids. As we experimented with the different ways of sharing these secrets, we found that parents understood and remembered the techniques when they came from real-life examples and stories. Well, it's like one mom said to me, "Hey, now I know why you guys teach in stories. Stories are easy to remember. Then all you have to do is act out the story, and amazing things happen. The kids respond exactly the same way the kids in the stories did." Hey, sometimes I have to run into the other room to laugh about how easy it was. Did you know that each one of your stories has actually changed my life for the better? Since that day, we've devoted ourselves to refining the love and logic techniques and refining our ability to share the real-life stories that show parents how to use these techniques. We now have hundreds of these stories. They appear in our books, articles, audios, and videos. Pick up that phone right now and call our 800 number. It's 800-338-4065. Another amazing thing's going to happen. A real-life person will actually answer the phone, visit with you, and lead you to the books, audios, and videos that will start you on your journey to having more fun with your kids. Or, if you prefer, visit www.loveandlogic.com for free tips and the opportunity to order online.